Thank you, Chief Justice. I don't know if you'd like to go back to the math before we I continue.
Please do.
I'm sorry?
Please do, if you can.
So if you look at PA number 7, this is the map provided by the township. This shows the entirety of the area that was exchanged by the township to the developer. So all the lots that are not shaded in are were previously owned by the township, except for the two green ones, which are owned by my clients, and then the lots with the hash lines, which were owned by the developer.
What are the other lots? All of them were owned by the town and given to the developer?
Correct.
So everything on the every single lot on the Jackson Township side?
I believe it's...
Because there's a existing roadway, like is every single lot
correct
previously owned?
What's listed under the White Road, the I zone, and so on down through the industrial zone, and all of that, the R1 zone, the I zone, all
correct.
Of that was
That's
turned
all
over?
It's an industrial zone property. It was all of those individual lots were owned by the township. My client owned the two green lots, where clients own the green lots, and then the other lots that were privately owned have been acquired by the developer. Those are shown as the hash lots.
The lots adjacent to the green lots going right and left?
Owned by the township.
And what were they in use as?
My client's lots were vacant, Your Honor. I believe most of the lots were,
all
if not
vacant?
All, were vacant. That's my understanding.
So when did the developer obtain those two lots, 10?
I'm not sure when that happened.
That was unrelated to
these
the transactions?
These are not the swap lots.
Swap lots are the two green lots.
No. No, I mean...
everything.
In other words, the land that the developer owned, that the developer gave to the township in exchange for this, is not shown on this.
It's somewhere else, right. But you said those two lots with the lines are owned by the developer.
Correct.
They were able to acquire them...
Correct.
...from private owners...
Correct.
...prior to this... swap being?
Not sure of the timing.
Because they're not contiguous. So that's an interesting, it's interesting two lots that would have already been acquired by the developer, the same developer that we're, that the township is swapping with.
Correct.
Earlier, the chief was asking questions of, you know, opposing counsel with regard to who identified the lots for purposes of the swap. So in line with that kind of thinking and understanding and whether that matters, it's I'm interested to know when the developer purchased these two kind of randomly situated lots in this 45 acres.
I can't tell you when. I know, I understand it was before
anything.
My guys got involved or were approached by the town. Counsel for the township may be able to enlighten the court.
And looking at this map, where is the land that was, that is or was to be designated for public use?
It's not shown on this map, Your Honor.
Is it north? You know?
Well, I understand it's been described as more centrally located. If you just look at the block numbers based on that, I can tell you it's not near this. It's not contiguous to this. This property borders Lakewood, as you see the boundary line between the municipalities shown on this map. And my understanding is the lots that the developer owned were in more toward the center of Jackson Township.
If we asked both parties to respond in writing with legible maps, readable maps, about what you've just said, do you think you could do it as a joint certification?
I'm happy to do so, Judge.
Don't do anything until you hear from the clerk of the court. Please go ahead with your argument.
Thank you. So just to go back, I think Justice Patterson, we were going having a, you had asked a question and I was responding about talking about the right of due process and how important it is for a property owner to know from the outset what they're dealing with. And that this court has recognized the importance of due process. And it's, again, I think the court demands more than just saying, oh, we're taking it for a public use. Oh, we're just taking it for open space. If a property owner says, well, wait a second, what do you mean open space? What are you going to do? And that's where we get into micro homes. There's a record. Here, there was no such record. You know, the appellate division noted or concluded that, you know, without having that kind of transparency, a municipality can violate property rights at any time, for any reason, at any time, untethered to the public use. So I think, again, that's why it is so important from the outset that the municipality talk about and create a record as to the purpose of the taking, whether it's a park, whether it's a school, whatever the case may be.
Well, but what if it's just supposed to be open space? What if it's just open space?
Well, if they say it's open space, I go back to what you had in MIPRO to support that assertion. Because especially here, when we look at it in the context of the swap, the land use scheme, Pacific Legal in its brief offered a number of examples where it might be a pretext. Now, that issue, pretext, hasn't risen to this court. We heard some discussion of the Kessler case and another case that escapes my mind for a moment. This court hasn't dealt with that head on yet. So I think another example, and one where we've had some discussion of the local redevelopment and housing law, which has been before this court often, three big cases that I know recall off the top of my head over the last 20 years, two of which were this court set forth pretty specific standards based on the plain language of the statute that municipalities were trying to get around and were for years. Those holdings specifically that I'm referring to are Galanthin v. Paulsboro, and more recently, the Malanga West Orange Township case. This swap scheme presents an opportunity where a developer looking at property that's more desirable can buy property over here on the outskirts of town and say, I want that downtown property. And rather than having to confront the holdings of this court in those cases, we can just walk around and say, oh, we're going to do a land swap. That's wrong. It's absolutely wrong.
We don't have to get to that if we're talking about if the township just owned the property outright and they wanted to do a land swap with the developer, you might still think that was wrong, but it's not implicated by this case, right? This case is about whether you can use eminent domain to take a property that property will not be used for any public purpose and will instead be swapped.
Correct. However, now we go back to that record, and that's why I do think it's so important, because we don't know. The public doesn't know. I think Justice Hoffman brought it up before. It's not just the property owner who has a right to know what's happening. The public does.
It's not clear to me how that's relevant in terms of, let's say that here they had all along said, we want to take these two lots for open space, and they actually did want to take those two lots and turn them into open space. Again, that's not the case before you right now, right?
Correct.
And we don't have to have any holding that addresses exactly how a township, when taking a particular lot for public space, has to or does not have to create a record, because it's just not implicated by these facts, correct? Here, the point is they did not want to use the lots for open space. They wanted to swap them, right?
Focusing on the subject lots, correct, Justice.
I'm sorry to take us back to the map. We've heard about 42.5 acres the town owned. Is that the balance of the properties here, or is that elsewhere in the township?
My understanding, that is the approximate area of this, or the approximate square size of this area shown on the map that was previously owned by the township, inclusive of the four private lots.
So you're suggesting the court adopt a rule that says you can't do this by land swap. In other words, you can't condemn a property to be flipped in a land swap. You have to condemn the property for a public use that is going to be applicable to the property. How far does that extend? Can a municipality condemn property for
open space, and then a year later swap it for other property in private hands that would then be considered open space, and then that those two parcels or whatever it may be would be developed.
Certainly municipalities have the authority to dispose of property, to sell it, and to do swaps. You know, that the ability of the town to do that with property that it owns is not at issue here. It presents an interesting question, Justice, in that, you know, is there a waiting period within which the municipality may decide that, well, you know, we don't need this property for a park, so we're going to sell it, or we're going to exchange it for other property that would be better suited for a park. It's more level and we want to put soccer fields in. I do agree with counsel for the township. As you get into those types of questions, it's more fact sensitive. But at the time of the taking, is there an intent to take the property for a identified, or as the appellate division said, a clearly articulated public use of the condemned land set forth in the public record? We do have to set these guide rails for municipalities because we've seen them veer off the road, and this court has long stood as a firewall against abuse of the eminent domain power, primarily, admittedly, in the context of the local redevelopment and housing law, but now we're seeing it bleed into, quote, public use takings. I don't take challenging, I've been doing this for 20 years, challenging a public use taking lightly. This is the fourth time I've done it. I'm happy to say, two, we worked out well for the clients. They still own their properties. One was resolved with the state. The fourth is in the hands of this court.
Answering Justice Patterson's question, are you saying that under no circumstances can the simultaneous two-step be done? Or are you saying that there may be circumstances, but they would have to be more akin to a CALO, where there is a comprehensive plan that has been transparent and vetted, and the public has been involved, and there's no question of what was intended from the get-go, and that under those circumstances, that may be possible? Or are you answering Justice Patterson's question to say it's a black line rule?
Yes, that is my answer. The question, as I understood it, Justice, was that sometime down the road, I think a year would be too soon.
So simultaneous, we'll call it the simultaneous two-step. If you have a comprehensive plan, you're open, you're transparent, the public participates, there's a referenda, everyone knows what it is, you're saying that still wouldn't fly.
Correct. And one thing I haven't talked about here that I think is important, and I missed it in my opening statement, was that the power of eminent domain being this awesome power, that it's vested only in the state of New Jersey as the sovereign. The state may and has delegated that power to municipalities under various statutes. We've talked about local redevelopment and housing laws being one of them, the Fair Housing Act, and of course the statute at issue here. But this court and the appellate division has held, when exercising that power, you have to act in accordance with the statutes. And if the power hasn't been handed down to do this, to take property for a private use, and then say we're going to flip it to another owner and take their property, we'll put that to a public use, then I would respectfully submit the township doesn't have that authority. It has not been delegated by the state. And again, as far as we know in the cases cited, this is only the third time it's going to be considered by a court. That's pretty telling.
Utah Supreme Court, is that what you're considering? What are the other two times? You said this is only the third time.
The Utah case that was cited by the appellate division, Pacific Legal, and they cited an older case out of Pennsylvania where a court there had addressed the issue. So that's what I'm referring to. Those are the only three cases, or this being one, where this issue has been presented that I'm aware of and counsel for Pacific Legal is aware of.
Anything else you'd like to address, counsel?
No, Chief Justice. I thank you for your time.
Ms. McGuckin-Anthony, brief rebuttal.
Thank you. I know that this morning we had long argument on this matter, so I won't belabor my points. I think they're laid out in my brief and previously this morning. I would just like to highlight the context of this specific situation. I had indicated earlier that it was fact-specific to keep this from going too far or stopping other municipalities from doing it. Here, you had a municipality who knew that they were going to have to provide development for the specific type of uses that were contemplated by this developer. And they knew it because they were being sued for discrimination by the federal government and the state government. And you had a willing developer who wanted to make to construct these specific types of uses and agreed to go to a location that the governing body said, that makes a lot more sense.
But originally he wanted to, develop the uses on his own land, correct?
Correct.
So he didn't say, you know, my land is not suitable for this and I'm going to sue you if you don't allow these to be developed somewhere, so you need to do some sort of land swap. He said, I'm going to build these here, and the municipality didn't want them there.
Correct. Correct.
And it's fine if the developer identifies another location. The problem is private parties own those properties. Right?
Private properties own two.
Two of the properties.
Private persons. Yes.
Location where the developer
apparently
changed course and wanted to develop.
And the municipality saw that as a grand opportunity, right? It's very similar to, and it's March 16th. So yesterday was the deadline for the affordable housing settlements, right? And the round four affordable housing law gave municipalities the opportunity to negotiate with developers ahead of, to avoid builders' remedy litigations by allowing them to have some control in those settlements and say, hey, you know, as the municipality, let's work with the developer and see where is the best place for these to go. And that's the whole purpose of the round four statute, is to allow that conversation and to encourage the settlement between the developers and the municipality.
Potentially at the expense of private landowners.
I'm sorry?
Potentially at the expense of private landowners.
Potentially, and the same is true in affordable housing.
Do you know when the developer purchased those two properties, 103 and 112?
I apologize, Your Honor. I do not know the answer to that question.
Because it's an interesting two lots that are not contiguous in this area that all of a sudden the municipality determines is the best place to move this development. And suddenly the developer already has two of those lots.
Mm-hmm. While I understand that question and why the court would ask it, I don't think it's relevant for purposes of what the township did here, which was determine that that open space and these developments both were going to happen, right? They already had the open space on the border of Lakewood, and this development was going to happen. And the governing body had the opportunity to say, we have a little bit of control of our zoning here. We have a little bit of control of our development that we're going to have to provide. And it makes more sense from a legislative standpoint here to do it this way. And that's exactly what
they
did.
So you mentioned that this could happen with affordable housing as well. And presumably if a municipality decided to use eminent domain to condemn two plots in order to build affordable housing on those plots, I don't know if a court has held that affordable housing is a public purpose. I would guess that perhaps one has somewhere in the country. And so that would be fine and we wouldn't be here. But you're suggesting again that rather than condemn a particular plot to use it for affordable housing, a municipality should be able to condemn some other lot that it doesn't want to use for affordable housing, give that lot to someone else for a totally private purpose, then swap something around and then build affordable housing somewhere else.
Which encourages open space in a desirable location that we argue that the legislature, meaning the governing body here, right, on a municipal level, has the authority to kind of control and is the best suited to make those decisions as to how and where those locations will be. And again, I think that's supported by the round four affordable housing law that was been working on for the last couple months.
But if that's the case, isn't it a critical step that the municipality has to be clear about all of those plans from the outset, which doesn't appear to have happened here? And isn't that, before we even get to the question of whether or not the swap could be a public use, don't we have to start there? And isn't there a potential that your argument may fail there if it turns out that the municipality was not being forthright and fair by laying it all out at the outset?
While the first ordinance authorizing condemnation did not lay it out, ultimately the township did. And if the township had not had adopted that ordinance earlier, we'd be in the same exact position. The township did adopt that ordinance. They did outline what their whole plan was. And whether they did it in March or May or June or August, they still did it. And I'd argue we'd be in the same exact position whenever that ordinance was adopted, whether it was adopted from the beginning or if it was adopted a couple months later. The argument is the same.
They did it before that any property was taken, correct?
Yes.
So right. The taking didn't happen until after they were very honest with all of
Complaint was filed, but there was no taking until after that second ordinance was adopted.
Correct. There were objections first raised, and then the ordinance mm-hmm. came out.
Yes. Yes. Which
released the information.
Which I would argue, you know, a municipality is authorized to do. A municipality is, you know, they adopt an ordinance. They may hear some public response to the ordinance. They may say, hey, maybe this isn't what our residents want. Maybe we should have done it differently. They're certainly authorized to amend their ordinances or amplify or clarify their decisions.
I understand that piece, but when we're talking about being forthright and fair with the party, we're talking about the particular landowner whose property is going to be taken, not necessarily the public at large for that piece. So is that fair to say that because the public had the right to comment, that that's sufficient to suggest that they acted fairly with the landowner?
I think that they acted within the confines of the statute with the property owner. They reached out to see if they were willing to sell. They adopted the authorizing ordinance. They did amend that ordinance. Those conversations were you know, they were had. The property owner was aware that the purpose eventually would be to have this land exchange and to preserve open space elsewhere, perhaps not at the outset. And I understand that question was asked earlier about the first letter that went out. And I'm not contesting that, but I would go back to the conversation I had with Justice Hoffman on that and what's required at that point. And I would argue that what is a public use is what is required, that it's for a public use. And they were aware that it would be taken for a public use, which brings us to the question before this court of public purpose. Can this happen to achieve a legitimate public purpose?
And I think the concept of turning square corners is a more global perspective over time of the behavior of the municipality in terms of its transparency and its integrity and how forthright it has been. You know, it's not really the I ultimately turned a square corner concept. It is one that I think takes a broader, it's a movie, it's not a picture.
I certainly agree. And the movie started in February and it went until August. And the township, again, was open about the land exchange agreement, said that the purpose of the condemnation was in the furtherance of a public use and purpose, and then explained in great detail what the whole plan was. I wish I could say that that ordinance was the first one adopted, but it wasn't. However, it was adopted. The first ordinance was not, it lacked detail, but it wasn't misleading, I would argue.
Other questions, anyone? Anything else you'd like to ask? Thank you, counsel.
No, I think that's it.
As indicated, we may need your help, in which case the clerk of the court will contact you with a specific request. And thank you for the very helpful arguments today.